And before we sing that hymn, would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne this morning, Father. Lord, we're just so thankful that you've blessed each and every one of us here, Father, another day of life and the health and the strength and the wherewithal to rise up out of our beds, Father, that we can openly assemble together and worship thee on the first day of the new week, Lord. Our Father, we pray that all of our acts of worship unto thee this morning would be most pleasing unto thee, and that all be done in accordance with thy will and word, Father. And we also ask, Lord, that if there be those that are subject to thy invitation in any way this morning, Father, that you might bless them with the courage to make those needs known, Father, as your grace will be extended to them, Lord. And we ask these and all things in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Morning. 792. I'll sing all three.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saving birds of heaven are over on the other shore, and the roll is called of yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called of yonder, when the roll is gone up yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ arise, and the glory of his resurrection when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the rolling call of thunder, I'll be there. When the roll is full of thunder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the goal is called of thunder, I'll be there. When the roll is called of yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Before we go and get in prayer this morning, please turn your hymnbooks to page 546. 546. Sing all through.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner perfectly. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, Father, we come to you this morning, Father, thanking you so much for another day of life. We thank you so much, Lord, for getting us up this morning, Father, and helping us be on our way to come to you, Lord, to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth and freely, Lord. God, we thank you again for just loving us so much, Lord, even you loved us first. And Lord, for just loving us, even though we don't deserve it, oh God, we just love you so much, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Father, to be able to be here, to be able to assemble, to be able to share in hymns, to be able to pray, to be able to praise your name, hear your word, Lord. God, we just want to just thank you so much on this day, on this morning. Father, we want to take this time, Father, to ask you to forgive us of our sins, oh Lord, those things both known and unknown, Lord. That you continue to guide our steps, continue to order our steps, Father. Continue to guide us and keep us. Father, we ask at this time, Father, that you will bless those, Father, that was mentioned this morning, Father, those that are sick, those that are bereaved, Lord. Father, we ask that you continue to keep your everlasting arms around them, O God. Father, we ask that you continue to bless the leadership of this congregation, Father. Guide them in the way that you would have them to know, Lord. And Father, we ask that you bless Brother Gilbert this morning, Father, that you guide your words and the things that he say, O Lord. God, we ask that you continue to just watch over this world, Lord. Watch over the things of this world. We know, God, that you have everything in control, Lord. It is your word. It's not things that we do, Father, but your will that will be done. Father, we ask that you continue to bless everything that we do today, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn your hymn books to page 300. 300. Sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
For the Lord.
As we see in this world, there is so much out there that causes division, separation, that causes disagreements amongst people. But as we can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 16 and 17, the Lord's Supper is the opposite of that. Now, this is an opportunity for each and every one of us as Christians to come together and to share in something that is special. You know, not only is this the opportunity to remember the sacrifice that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made on each and every one of our behalves, but the Lord's Supper is something that can just bring fellow brothers and sisters in Christ closer together. And that's one thing that when Paul was speaking to the church of Corinth, when he didn't see people not sharing, he explained that the Lord's Supper is not to be partaken in that manner. It is a time for reflection for each and every Christian together as one to come together and reflect and focus on the same thing, which is the sacrifice that Jesus made for each and every one of us. We have before us the two emblems. We have the bread, which represents his body, and we have the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for rising us from our beds this morning, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to come together on this first day of the week, to gather around the Lord's table, Heavenly Father, to be able to come together to share the partaking of this Lord's Supper with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, Heavenly Father, to as one to come together to have this opportunity for each and every one of us to clear our minds, to focus on that same thing, Heavenly Father, to know that thy Son, who was perfect, that did no wrong, that was without spot or blemish, that his love was so great for this world that he was willing to give his life. And we pray, Heavenly Father, as we partake of this bread, which represents his body, that we do so in a manner that it be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for, in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Let us now give thanks for the cup. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, we humbly bow to you once again, Father, thanking you so much for the great sacrifice made by your Son, Jesus Christ, on that cruel cross of Calvary. Father, we ask that we take of this cup, Father, that we do so that it is a way that is pleasing and worthy unto thee. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
If anyone has been overlooked when partaking of the Lord's Supper, raise your hands. Seeing no hands, we have another portion of our worship service, which is giving. And this is an opportunity to show our appreciation to our Lord and Savior, and to our Heavenly Father for all His blessings. He has blessed each and every one of us. And let us not just focus on just the physical placing of your contribution into the trays, but to make sure that you focus on the manner, the attitude that we should have as we give back, to not do so grudgingly, not to do so of necessity, but be a cheerful giver. So let us pray for the opportunity to give. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us yet another day, Heavenly Father, allowing us to marvel at all thy blessings, Heavenly Father, this all thy creation, this beautiful world that you have given us, Heavenly Father, to show our gratitude, Heavenly Father, for the joy that you bring us, Heavenly Father, for getting us through times of sorrow, Heavenly Father, for your guidance, for that comfort. And we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for giving us the will, the ability to be able to go out, Heavenly Father, to work, to be able to provide for our loved ones, Heavenly Father. And we're so grateful for this opportunity to give back so that we can tend to the needs of the congregation, Heavenly Father, that we can continue to spread thy great word, Heavenly Father, that we can continue to grow. And we pray that as we give back, that we will do so in a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would, mark your hymnbooks to page 847. 847, that will be our song of encouragement this morning. After marking that, please turn to page 991. 991. See verses 1, 3, and 4. I like to add as long as I can stand, 2 stand. One, three, and four.
My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. No pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright.
Sermon title to today's lesson is God Blueprint for Salvation. And the scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 through 15. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits." Brother Ball.
Good morning, everyone. It is a delight to see everyone and to be in the Lord's house one more time. Certainly, we thank God for blessing us, giving us health and strength to be able to be here today for this service. God kept watch over us as we slept last night, woke us up this morning, and started us on our way. It's only by the grace of God that we are here and that we are even alive. Well, to all of our guests, to our visitors, we say welcome. We are thankful that you've come our way today. We hope that by your being here today, you will be strengthened and lifted up. And we hope this visit today is good enough for you to come back and visit with us again. Welcome. The psalmist said in Psalms 133, verse 1, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." We're unified today because we have one common denominator. His name is Jesus. Well, I want to begin this lesson today with our scripture text that you just heard from Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 through 15. I'll read it again for emphasis sake. "And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. Tonight's day's lesson, God's blueprint for salvation. God's blueprint for salvation. All of us who are somewhat familiar with the building industry know how critical a blueprint is to building. There was an article in a magazine not long ago concerning the building and the construction of an airplane. I found it to be quite interesting as I focused in on this subject today. It said, some of the parts of the airplane are extremely heavy, and they cannot fly in and of themselves. They are so heavy, some of the parts, that when you throw them into the air, they will fall to the earth. They are very small, some of them, and very intricate. But put them together, each in its individual place, and each with its part to play, and the plane will fly. Not one of these parts are designed to meet the laws of aerodynamics. Only when these parts come together, according to the blueprints by the engineer, does this machine become an aerodynamic phenomenon. I am amazed each and every time I have an opportunity to step aboard an airplane and then fly some 35,000 feet through the air. And then that plane lands. And the best part of that flight is when those wheels touch down on the runway again. That was a good flight. Now, I know that men want to take the glory for such a magnificent machine. But God gets the glory. For God has made man in his image, and that image is displayed in the ability to do and to design the kind of phenomenon that we experience from engineers today. So what I want to do first is to look at the engineer and ask the question, who is the engineer of our salvation? Secondly, what I want to do is examine the blueprint. What is a blueprint? And thirdly, what I want to do is to look at some of our ways of responding to the blueprint, and then the correct way that we should respond. Well, I gave you my outline so that if you get lost, you will know what I was trying to do. So who is the engineer? Based on Genesis 6, verse 14, the Bible says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Well, I think all of us will agree that God is the engineer. Now notice, God brought to Noah a pattern for the ark. God told Noah that he wanted him to make an ark. He told him the length of it, the height of it, the breadth of it. Noah received this pattern from God. Now, there is another passage of Scripture. It's very interesting and very similar to the one I just read. Well, Genesis chapter 6 deals with salvation. This other one deals with worship. Pardon me. This other one is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 25, verse number 8 and 9. But I want to show you that blueprints are very important to God Almighty. Verse 8, now here's God speaking to Moses. He said, let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them according to all that I shall do, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all of the instruments, even so shall ye make it. So, as God brought to Noah the blueprint for the ark, God brought to Moses the blueprint for the building of the tabernacle. But here's what I have noticed as I studied these two passages, is that God never asked Noah for any collaboration. When he gave him those plans, God didn't ask Noah how he felt about it. He didn't ask Noah, what do you think is going to work? He didn't ask Noah anything like that. God brought the plans to him and said, Noah, I want you to build the ark. Now, the same God came to Moses. Watch this. He said, Moses, tell them to make a sanctuary for me after the pattern that I shall show you. So now, what I know is this. God is the engineer. God does not need or want any input from those he is seeking to save and from those who are seeking to worship him. When I look further, I noticed in Genesis chapter 1 where God made the world. God is the engineer. God made on the first day light. Remember, he said, let there be light. Second day, the firmaments separated the waters. Third day, green grass and all of the vegetation. Fourth day, he took the sun, the moon, and the stars, created them. Fifth day, God created the birds and put them in the heavens, and the fish in the sea. The sixth day, God created the beast of the field. And I notice that the very last thing that God created was man. Now that told me that God, who is the engineer of heaven and earth, evidently didn't want man to have any input in what he was doing as he was creating it. Because if man had had any input, well, I don't know, but we could have green water and orange grass. Could. Possibility. So God did not inquire of man. It's something else. God said, it's not good for man to be alone. God said that. And we're talking about God, who is the engineer. So what God did was, he put man to sleep, and he made woman. God didn't ask man what type of partner he wanted. God didn't ask man if he wanted a tall one, a short one, a heavy or a slim. God didn't ask for any input. I'm trying to show you that God didn't need any input from man. He wasn't interested in what man was feeling as he was creating. I'm just trying to help you realize how important the engineer is. God brought the blueprint, the pattern, to Noah. God brought the blueprint to Moses. God needs no thought from us, although we are rational people. We all have thoughts, but I'm telling you, God is not interested when he was creating in what we were feeling or thinking. Now, I notice also our great scheme of salvation. It was also brought into being without any collaboration. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7, watch this. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now that means that God's great wisdom for saving the world was done long before he ever created the heavens and the earth. So I know that God is a creator, and God brings us the blueprint. The engineer is not interested in collaborating with us about it. As Jeremiah said in the long ago, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, he says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. God knows best. God has the wisdom to bring about our salvation. All right, point number two. I believe we all agree the blueprint is the Word of God. God is the one who spoke to Noah. He gave Noah his word concerning the pattern, the fashion of the ark. God gave Moses his word about the tabernacle. When we go to Exodus chapter 40 in the verses 16, watch this. The same language that God used for Noah is the same language he used for Moses. Thus did Moses according to all that the Lord commanded. Now that just grabbed me about how he was able to speak the same kind of conversation, although this was generations apart. Generations had passed from Noah's time to Moses' time. So that lets me know that God is the same God, and that men ought to respond the same way. Same language. That lets me know that once God gives us the blueprint, the fashion, God wants us to do all that he has commanded. Now, our problem is that we don't want to do all that God commands. But if you want to be saved, you've got to do all that God commands. Notice that when God gave Noah the instructions, they were not written for other generations. But when God gave Moses the instructions, God wanted him to write them down. Exodus 24, verse 3. Now we understand that at this point, God wants the blueprint to be written. And Moses came and he told the people all the words that the Lord had told him and the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said will we do. They were lying. So Moses, I want to ask you, Moses, why are you writing all of this down? Why didn't Noah write it down? Why didn't he write it down for other generations? Well, the reason is because what God writes to Moses, God wants every generation to do exactly what that generation has done. God wants it written. Because if it's written, it's permanent. You see, I can tell you something, but you may forget it. So what God wants them to do is to put it in writing so it will be permanent, right? Which means in case you do forget, you can go back and be reminded of what God has said. Let me tell you how important that is to God. That blueprint is very important to God. He wanted it written. Because if it's written, you can study it. Now, 400 years later, God intended those generations to do it just like Moses. You recall when Solomon built the temple, he had to do it just like God had told Moses to build the tabernacle. The blueprint is very important. You don't rely on, well, what I feel or what I think about it. God wants it to be on the record. 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the verses 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. meaning it is inspired by God. It has been breathed out by God. Scripture means record, meaning writing, meaning inspired. The Bible wasn't written, and then God breathed on it. What that is saying is that everything that is in this Bible was written. It was written out by God. I know somebody might say, well, you know, Brother Gilbert, men have had a big part in writing the Bible. That's true. So they'll ask me, when you say man had to have a part in writing the Bible, so how does that correlate with inspiration? Well, what that means is certain kinds of men. 2 Peter tells us what kind of men. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That means that God took the mind, God took the vocabulary, God took that experience of that man when that man wrote. He was not writing his words. He was writing God's words. You know, it's just like a man having a secretary. If I give dictation to a secretary and the secretary writes the letter, that letter didn't come from the secretary. I signed that letter because that letter came from me. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. God said, you want to know how to teach? Don't wait for some angel or some spirit to come down here. And in other words, God doesn't want us to stand up here in front of everybody and say, well, God told me to tell you. Mm-mm. All Scripture is by the inspiration of God. God wants us to do it by the blueprint. All right, point number three. So how do we respond to the Lord's blueprint? People will tell you, they'll say, you know, there are no absolutes. And they'll make the statement that, well, there are no rights, there are no wrongs. They'll make statements like, well, the way you see it is not the way I see it. And you don't have the right to tell me that I'm wrong. Well, I want to ask you this. If you were to visit the plant where they are making that airplane, would you want a person who's working on that airplane to say, well, it doesn't matter. Your thoughts are my thoughts. They say, well, what I'm doing is I'm going by the spirit of aerodynamics. And I say, they'll say then, well, you know, I don't even need a blueprint. Well, what I want to know is, what plane did you work on? And whichever plane you worked on, I don't want to be on that plane. Because I know better than that. With all of those thousands of parts that man needs to put into that plane, he doesn't need to rely on his memory, but he needs to go by the blueprint. And so our response when it comes to religion, it says, there are absolutes. You know, when I go to the bank, I do want absolute answers concerning my money. I don't want you to tell me, well, sir, that's how you see it. Oh, no. That's my money. I know how much money I had in here. I'm going to pull out some receipts. Now, it doesn't work when you drive either. I don't want to be on the street with people who say, well, you drive the way you want to and I'll drive the way I want to. No. There are some rules and some regulations. There are some rights and some wrongs when it comes to driving. I want you to stop at the stop sign. I want you to stop at the red light. I don't want you saying, well, I didn't feel like stopping right then, so I went on through. No. Someone might say, well, I've been driving since I was a teenager. I've been driving on the right side of the road. I think I'll switch over and drive on the left side. No, it does not work like that. I'm trying to tell you, there is an absolute to driving on the highway. I'm telling you, there are some rights and there are some wrongs. Even when it comes to playing sports, I don't see a football game or a basketball game that operates on that basis, and the idea that no rights and no wrongs. Why do you think there's a referee out there? Why do you think that man has a whistle on and wearing that striped shirt? Every time a player violates a rule, why do you think he blows the whistle or throws the flag? That's because that game would not be official unless it was based on some rules. And when you look at it that way of responding, that's the way I see it, some would say. Well, that just doesn't work. It doesn't work anywhere. But all of a sudden, we want to bring it into religion. And they say, well, I see it this way, and you see it that way, and I'm just as right as you are about this. No, ma'am. No, sir. That response does not work. I'm here to tell you that religion is the place where we want to have a definite plan, a definite response to God's salvation. If God saves us, it will be on His basis, on His standards, on His rules, His will. So therefore, I am simply trying to show you that Noah had enough sense to follow God's blueprint, and so did Moses. So when it comes to us today, the blueprint, the Word of God, show you that what God wants us to save. God wants us to be saved. He wants us to be in one church. And suddenly when you tell somebody that, they get offensive. And they'll say, a lot of people have the idea when they hear something like that, they'll say, God can save me anywhere. I don't have to be in a certain church for God to save me. Let me just tell you what the blueprint says. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. He says, there is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, ladies and gentlemen. That's what the blueprint calls for. Unity. We talk about unity a lot. Unity is very important to God. We go to John chapter 17 and the verses 20. Jesus said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The prayer of Jesus Christ is that they all may be one. That's what the blueprint calls for. Daniel said, in the days of the kingdom, of his kingdom, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall not be destroyed, which shall not be left to other people, but it shall break into pieces and consume all kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Someone might ask about the laws. What about laws? You remember the law? Well, Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 tells us about that. It says that the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Well, what does that mean? That means it's just like riding a school bus. When the children get on the school bus and they're going to school, and when they get to school, they're supposed to get off the bus, because learning does not take place on the bus. Learning takes place in the school. It was only that the bus got them to school. And once they get to school, they're supposed to get off the bus. Go into the school. Jesus is the school, and the law was a school bus that brought us to Christ. Once you get to Christ, you ought to get off the bus, get off of the law, get on into the school, who is Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a distinction between the Old Testament and the New Testament. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what we got to do. We've got to rightly divide that blueprint. We've got to know when the blueprint is talking to us, when the blueprint is not talking to us. Got to know when the blueprint means for us to do this, when the blueprint means for us to not do this. Therefore, we know that the Old Testament is not for us, because Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. There was a lamb in the Old Testament, but Jesus is the Lamb of God today. The tabernacle was then, but Jesus is the temple by which you and I are saved today. Music, when it comes to that instrumental music, I hear it a lot. Well, I leave all of that in the Old Testament. When it comes to the New Testament, I just make sure that I do what the blueprint calls for. That's called for me to do, and that is to sing, to make melody in my heart to the Lord. I'm just trying to follow this blueprint. The Church of Christ is based on the blueprint, the Word of God. The blueprint calls for 5 steps to be taken for salvation. That's where you hear the gospel. Believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sins, confess Christ to be the Son of God, and accept Him in baptism. And if you're already a member of the body, strayed away, you've been unfaithful, you need to come back. You need to come back and rededicate your life to Christ. And so, while truth, love, and mercy linger, make a choice for Jesus while together we stand and sing.
Here a labor and toil as I the born of home. Just a song of love, O Lord of all of men. What a heaven of anxiety waiting for me. And a sense of voice leading coming. There's a mansion now empty, just waiting for me. Yeah.
Thank you.